The people in your congregation want to honor God in every aspect of their life, including giving. Unfortunately, that is holding them back. By leading a Financial Peace University class, you can change that. People like you have helped over 5 million families take control of their finances. You can help the people in your congregation do the same. To learn more about leading a class, text HOPE to 36698. That's HOPE, H-O-P-E, to 36698. Thank you. And now here's the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown, featuring our guest, Brian Houston. This is the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown.
Well, hello, leaders. Welcome to the Leadership Momentum Podcast. Our goal here is to encourage you and to equip you and to empower ministry leaders just like you, all roles, all kinds of organizations, to see success in all possible ministry metrics. While, here's the kicker, while staying healthy. To do it in a scalable way, to do it in a sustainable way. And one of the things our guest says is healthy things grow. And that is so true. My goal here is to help as many ministries as possible either stay healthy or get healthy. So welcome to the Leadership Momentum Podcast. Part of that life mission of mine to help ministry leaders and of the mission of this podcast and the mission of today's guest. Yes, today we get to hear from the one and only Brian Houston, who is leading Hillsong Church, one of the largest and most successful ministries in the world. Of course, the name Hillsong is well known by us all. From their incredible conferences to their now over 90 worship albums, think about this, each Sunday, over 50 million people sing their worship songs. That is insane. Churches all over the world, and even watch them win awards at the Grammys. I don't know if you guys saw that. Pretty cool stuff. Well, our guest is their senior pastor, global senior pastor, Brian Houston, and he leads a worldwide family of congregations established in 20 countries and on 6 continents. Pastor Brian obviously wasn't always the leader of one of the largest churches in the world. He once was just a small boy with big dreams. You know, he's growing up on the other side of the world for most of us listening in, and he desired to serve God with all his heart. He had to believe God for those dreams that he is now experiencing, and that's what he writes about in his newest book called There Is More. This episode's goal is to speak a bold faith into as many church leaders as possible, with my desire that each and every one of us would all lead others in that same boldness. If the people of God, the people that we lead, were to trust God for more, well, folks, a lot of things could really change in this world. So with all that said, I want to welcome you to the Leadership Momentum Podcast and give you a little bit of a glimpse of what you're about to experience. I am excited to invite you into my most recent conversation with a remarkable global leader, Pastor Brian Houston. Well, folks, the name Hillsong is well known by us all, from their conferences to their now over 90 worship albums. Each Sunday, over 50 million people sing their worship songs in church, probably in your church. You've looked up and you've recognized a Hillsong church. You may also know their global senior pastor is Brian Houston. He leads a worldwide family of congregations established in 20 countries and on 6 continents. And if you're in ministry and you have no idea who he is, I'm telling you, you've been living under a rock. His first book was called Live, Love, Lead. But he wasn't always the leader of one of the largest churches in the world. And I love to remind people of that. That's not where he started. It's been a journey. He was once a boy with big dreams, growing up on the other side of the world, who desired to serve God with all his heart, like you, like many of us. He had to believe God for those dreams. I don't know what dreams you had, but he had to believe those dreams. And that's what he writes about in his newest book, There Is More, which releases this week. Welcome, Pastor Brian, to the show.
I'm honored to speak to you, so thanks for giving us the time.
Now, you have a really incredible gift by God in the area of leadership and being such a good communicator and doing everything else that you do well. The leadership is a little bit more behind the scenes, but you see the fruit of it. You say in the book, it's human nature to underestimate our own giftings while overestimating the need for us to possess the skills that we lack and that someone else might have. I know nobody struggles with that but me. That is a common thing in the church world. Like, oh, I wish I could speak like them. Oh, I wish I could play like them. What would your advice be to the someone who has recognized their gift but is having trouble respecting their gift and maximizing it?
Well, I think that would be the story of most people. I mean, the Bible says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly. But don't you just think that so often we think more lowly of ourselves than we ought to think? And we do see other people's abilities so much quicker than we see our own. And that's why, yeah, I just love Ephesians 3:20 that talks about God's exceeding abundant and above anything that we could ask or think. And I don't believe when someone lives their life faithful to God and committed to Him and really committed to their calling, you know, not just living saved. You know, the Bible talks about being saved and called, but really understanding the power of calling and being committed to that calling. Then I just really feel like people can really break through into starting to see God do things they couldn't believe that He could possibly do. It's human nature for us to sometimes underestimate what God's put in our life, but keep following Him day by day and get ready for the surprises if you really do believe in your heart that He's got something more for you than perhaps even you can see.
That's so good. I can't help but think of, you know, last time I was at Hillsong, New York, and just enjoying the worship. And I can't help but think about all the worship leaders that were in that same environment going, oh, I wish I played that well, or I wish I had that equipment. Talk to that person right now who maybe they've been in the same role for like 3 or 4 years, doing the same exact thing for 4 or 5 years, and they don't see how they ever are going to get promoted to that next level of influence or whatever they're chasing. Can you talk to them for just a minute?
Well, I would say I've lived my whole life like that. I've lived my whole life sort of not really been able to get a hold of what the path ahead would be or how my today's reality is going to become tomorrow's possibility. Faithfulness is something that we do step out day by day and living obedient, being faithful to where God's got us right now. And I think trusting God to open doors, we can only walk through the door that's open in front of us right now. All I could say is that I connect to that. I can relate to people feeling like where they are now, they're being faithful, but they're not necessarily seeing that breakthrough. I just think life feels like that often. Then you look back one day, you go, hasn't the Lord been good to me? You know, and you start seeing, well, like Jacob in the desert, God was there all the time, though we knew it not.
It's good for us all to remember, for sure. You know, as you point out in the book, there are so many things that are grabbing for our attention on a daily basis, jobs and kids and spouses and friends, hobbies, you name it. In the chapter, The Walk and the War, you said something very important. It is not the will of God that you would cast any of these aside for the sake of ministry or spiritual fulfillment. All those different things going on in our life. How have you carried this out? Like in your own life, in the beginning of your ministry and as Hillsong has grown, you seem to have most of your family kind of all engaged. From a third party, it seems very well-rounded, and I'm sure there's probably some chinks in the armor, but how's this looked in your journey?
For a start, there definitely has been some chinks in the armor, but we are blessed. We've got 3 adult kids who all are serving God. They obviously all have their own families now, and they've all had their own journey. Each one of them has had to come to a point in their life where they had to make significant decisions. Their life could have gone either way, but the whole idea in that chapter you mentioned, The Walk and the War, is, you know, if you look at our walk as our everyday lives, our practical life, and the war as, our spiritual lives and, the spiritual battle. Some people are so good at the war. So if we relate it to leadership and ministry, you know, they're very good at doing what they do, preaching, teaching, leading, building, managing, supervising. They're great at that. So they're good at all of that, but not so good when it comes to the everyday things, the practical things. And I think that if we can get that balance right, you know, the Bible says first the natural, then the spiritual. And if we can really get that balance right and make sure that we don't serve God and burn out and do it at the cost of all the things that really matter in life. I've been a huge believer, really all my life, in not making your life too boxed. I know sometimes people will talk about God and family and church and put it in that order, God first, then family, then church. And I totally understand the sentiment behind that. But I think Bobby and I have always tried to not let our life get that boxed. And so, in other words, we've just tried to take our kids on the adventure and on the journey with us and, you know, have some fun times along the way. Like my boys played football in Australia, real football, rugby.
I knew that was coming.
And I would, you know, I remember being in church board meetings. And bored, B-O-R-E-D, might have been the operative word, and just excusing myself for a moment and jumping in the car and driving down to the field where my son was training for football and make sure he saw me there for a couple of minutes. And then I'd drive back to the board meeting and say, sorry, something important came up. So just kept our kids feeling like, you know, they were part of this journey and that they were as important to me as anything else. I think serving God, there's certain sacrifices we make, but it should never be the things that matter and the people that matter.
So you stepped out of important meetings and you survived.
Yes, I did.
Yes. That's good for us. That's good for everybody to hear for sure. Oh, man. So you make a point in the book to not allow others to disqualify you for the path that you're destined to take. We got all these voices. We got voices internally. We also got voices externally. And that we also need to be careful not to disqualify ourselves by making poor choices. Obviously, we've heard all the stories from around the country of you know, leaders of all different roles making poor choices, and that ends up disqualifying them professionally. Is that a daily choice, or is it a mindset that we need to take on?
Well, I think it's probably both of those things, isn't it? I think we need to have a resolve about the way we're going to live our lives. And if without a resolve, then when the daily choices come up, oftentimes, you know, we don't have that conviction and that commitment, not only to God, but to our own futures and to the people around and about us, then we can make choices that end up disqualifying us. Thank God he's always the God of the second chance. And, you know, I think nothing needs to be final. But we are presented every day with opportunities to compromise, to fall short. And as leaders, you know, there's things that can come against us in various areas. So every day, I think we make choices, but those choices are born in a greater conviction that hopefully comes out of our relationship with God.
You say silence is where the stronghold starts.
Yeah.
In the life of a leader who has an ongoing ministry, how dangerous is this?
Silence is where the stronghold starts, and you can look at that in different ways, because there's always voices trying to silence us, trying to get us to shrink back and draw back and to become intimidated and not stand boldly and strong in whatever it is God's called us to do. And then, of course, there's that inner silence where sometimes if we had to just shared a challenge or shared a battle with other people and people that we love and the people that we trust, you know, oftentimes people's silence, their fear of talking about maybe some of their own battles has been the thing that in the end can be devastating, because silence can be an enemy. And then, you know, if I were to talk about silence a different way again, I think that silence can be a weapon sometimes when we could be encouraging other people and we could be building. And oftentimes it's people's silence that speaks more than anything else. And so whether it's internal silence or whether it's us being silenced by whatever's coming against us and whatever voices, you know, in Australia's a cynical country when it comes to spiritual things. It's a very secular country, and a lot of people don't understand why a church in the 21st century would be young and vibrant and full and relevant, because the concept is church is old, irrelevant, and empty. And so oftentimes people criticize what they don't understand and will try to silence us. And I think we sometimes just have to decide we refuse to be silent.
When talking about silence, I can't help but be reminded of another concept that the public eye is looking at lead pastors to not be silent on certain issues. Maybe there's political issues, social issues.
Right.
And sometimes lead pastors, especially with a lot of influence like yourself, choose to be silent. There's a rationale behind that. There's a tension to be managed. Maybe this might be helpful if you can speak to that. How do you measure what you're going to speak into and what you're not going to speak into? Because I know there's a balance there where you're not speaking into every social issue, choosing your battles, when you are silent,
yes,
or maybe it's another influencer in the world is silent, it's on purpose and it's for a reason. Maybe speak to that for a minute.
I want to be known personally. I want our church to be known for what we are for, much more than for what we are against. We're for Jesus. We're for people. We're for the purposes of God and people's lives. You know, I think we can very easily turn a pulpit into a platform where we're speaking against this thing, speaking against that thing, speaking against this person. And oftentimes that doesn't compel people. It's not a magnet, you know, to draw people in. It's exactly the opposite. It repels and repulses. And so I think there are times when we can't be silent, to be honest. Yeah. In Australia, we just had a vote, more of a survey for the public on same-sex marriage. And, you know, I wrote my thoughts in a blog and in a statement. I did it in a gracious way, I hope. I think I took a clear stance on what the New Testament says, what the Bible says. But there were some people, of course, who would want me to get up every week and be thrashing that out on the platform Sunday after Sunday. Well, I refuse to do that because I don't see that as really building anything or building people. Mm. So I think any pastoral leader these days who, you know, does any kind of media, secular media, you're going to get asked certain questions. And I've learned the hard way that if you try to stay in the middle and not give a real answer, you end up a bit worse off than if you had said yes or no, you know. So sometimes you put in a position where you have to be straight and you have to be honest.
So good. So good. Well, we have church leaders listening both here in the U.S. and around the world. You've been in many seasons of ministry, but I want to just touch on two specifically. For someone in the beginning of their ministry, if you can think back all the way back then, Pastor Brian, from all that experience, what would be the number one truth that you would pass on to that person? And then also for the more seasoned leader, what would be some top advice that you'd give after, you know, after so much, you know, so many years of ministry?
Yeah, I spoke to a group of youth pastors not so long ago, and my message had 2 points. The first one is life is short. The Bible describes it as being like a vapor, you're here today, gone tomorrow sort of thing. And my second point is life is long. You've got a long time to stay encouraged, a long time to stay on course, not get distracted, not get discouraged, not make mistakes that can, you know, knock you out of the fight. And so life is short and life is long is not a better way to live your life. You've got to live your life like every day may be your last. I'm talking to young pastors. Every day may be your last. And another way, you're going to live your life like this is a long journey. And I'm in here for the long haul.
That's so good. Now, you know, one of the aspects of Hillsong that's very unique, and hopefully everyone is aware of this, but just to catch everyone up to speed, there's a thriving church and there is a thriving worship ministry, and it's happening at the same time. One is not eclipsing the other. They're both rocking and rolling. When I see the cohesiveness between you and your worship team, I can't help but think that there's some very intentional things that you do to stay close to them and to allow them the freedom to thrive. I've been in other environments where it's like, no, you won't, nuh-uh, and the thumb is the pressure's down, like, no, you won't, you stay focused on the church. There's got to be some cool dynamics there that you can share with us.
It's interesting. I've always believed, since well before our praise and worship became as broadly spread and as well known as it is today, I always believed that, you know, our worship was the sound of a healthy church. And that if the church is healthy, then it'll come through in the words and in the lyrics and in the spirit of those songs, and they'll bless people. And so I think we've been blessed because we've got worship teams who have an incredible revelation that we are about building local church, and everything that we do is an extension of that. And so we've been blessed with a very generous church in terms of the people and their releasing attitude, because they've been so releasing over the years for Bobby and I to travel beyond the walls of our church and to be involved in the body of Christ in a greater way. And the same with all of our worship teams and worship leaders. We've got a very generous church who, you know, get a joy out of seeing them get opportunity well beyond our own walls and so on. But yeah, I think as a senior pastor of a church who's got a significant worship ministry, which means there's also some very significant giftings and talents, you've got to be secure because how many pastors could deal with the fact that sometimes someone's going to give you the camera and ask you to take a photo of them with your worship pastor. You know, your worship people can become much more famous than you are. And I'm not so sure that a lot of pastors, in all sincerity, are secure enough to let that happen.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. But the two are synonymous. We don't look at them as separate. We really look at, we're all building the church together, obviously alongside Jesus, the master builder. And our praise and our worship is a reflection of that.
So good. Now, when I think about your ministry, I also think about you and your wonderful wife, Bobby. You guys work very closely together. And I also know that there's pastors that have spouses that are not involved at all. What's some advice for those who are working closely with their spouse? What's worked for you and Bobby? And also some advice for those, maybe it's a caution, I don't know what it would be, whose spouse maybe isn't engaged at all in the ministry. They've chosen that way. I'm sure you've got something to say to both those camps.
Well, I think life's about seasons. When our children were small, and obviously at school and so on, Bobby, she always loved church and she was always there and very much part of the answer, but she didn't have a big involvement at all in the day-to-day workings of the church or even in overseeing, you know, the women in the church. And it was quite a long way into our journey that God gave her a revelation, not about just taking on women's ministry, but about women and about who they are and about the way God sees them. And out from that birthed the Color Conference, which today, of course, reaches multiple thousands, tens of thousands of people around the world. And so we've been on both sides. You know, we've been at that part of life where I was heavily involved and Bobby was being the faithful mum. And then the part when we worked close together, I think, when a couple work closely together around the same vision, around the same thing, it's possibly one of the greatest marriage principles you can have. Because if we both are moving towards the same vision, it obviously is going to unite us. So for Bobby and I think the fact that we've both pursued the building of the local church and that we've done that together has probably been one of the greatest strengths of our now 41-year-long marriage. So then I see other couples, you know, they work together as co-pastors, if you like, or, you know, or co-leaders, and try to do the same role. The thing that works for Bobby and I is that way we complement each other. I guess I'm the visionary, I'm the leader, I'm kind of the gung-ho guy. Bobby brings her feminine heart, which is much more the core. You know, Bobby's sort of, I would call her prophetic. She's got this ability to bring, if you like, the more feminine side into our church. And I think put that together and it makes us so much more of a well-rounded body.
I love that. And I've totally witnessed that from afar. Seeing that dynamic between you two has been just wonderful. You said something earlier that you had a generous church.
Yeah.
And I can't help but think there's probably listeners that are listening in. I don't know what their role is, but a variety of different roles saying, how do you get that? I'm sure there's some kind of, and I know that God has got his hand on Hillsong. It's very obvious, but you said generous and you weren't even really talking about giving. You were talking about really them freeing you up, saying, hey, you know what? We see the calling in you. You can go to all these different continents and you can be part of the larger work that God is doing. But being okay with that as a body, how did you cast vision to that to get them to be open-minded like that and not be so consumeristic?
A lot is just the way we teach and train and build and put into our leaders. Right from the early days of our church, I've been blessed with a church board who have that spirit. So while they're far from yes men, and these days yes women, you know, they will speak into situations and do it clearly. Mm-hmm. Many of them have huge businesses and ministries and things themselves, but they've always had that same releasing spirit. They've always wanted what was best for Bobby and I, what was best for the church, and have got behind helping us to step into what we've believed is God's will for our life. And I think oftentimes even what happens behind closed doors inside the leadership of a church, I think there's a dynamic, there's a spiritual dynamic where, you know, if there's disunity or if there's, if you like, a lack of generosity inside the inner workings of a church, then it would reflect right through the congregation. You know, I think it also comes back, there's a scripture, 3 John 2, says, beloved, I wish above all else that you prosper, be in good health even as your soul prospers. Now it's John talking to his buddy, to his friend, and saying, I just want to see you blessed and doing well in the same way as your soul prospers. So that thought of a prosperous soul, every church has a soul. And if the soul of the church is prosperous, then the church will prosper. So by prosperous, I'm talking about not so much on the growth of the church, but the health of the church, because healthy things grow. And when you've put into the soul of your church or of your organization, and you keep that healthy, and then those attitudes of being releasing, healthy spirit, healthy attitude, unified, all of those sorts of things. Without making it too simplistic, I think you do get what you go for.
Pastor Brian, do you ever just sit back and think through the scope of Hillsong's influence and just are in awe of what God has done? And you think back to when you were like a 14-year-old boy. You ever have those moments and just think about what God has done?
Look, I really do. I tell them this book a story. I walk people through my walk home from the train station dreaming of big things and days to come. And I think, as I already mentioned, I have seen God do exceeding abundant above anything we could ever ask or think. But I don't just sometimes get overwhelmed at the goodness of God. To be honest, every Sunday I walk into church just in our one campus, you know, in our one location. We call our church one house, many rooms. But just in that one location, I look around after years and years and the place is packed to overflow with people. And every week, I think God is so good. God is so faithful. I'm just amazed at what God can do.
And what's so cool is He is that faithful for all of us. I love it. I love it. Folks, the name of the book is There Is More. And it's written by Pastor Brian Houston. And I love the tagline, when the world says you can't, God says you can. And that is not just a truth for Brian Houston. That's a truth for us all. Pastor Brian, we really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Enjoyed the talk.
Well, man, I love listening to Pastor Brian talk. Lots of takeaways, obviously, from that conversation. Maximizing your gifts, not focusing in on others, how to be faithful and obedient in the present, trusting God to open up those doors, not forcing them open. Of course, there's ambition, and then there's trying to be God. He's the one that opens the doors. There's the being grateful for where God has brought us so far, rather than being so upset about where we're not. That was another one. Another one I was thinking of is this whole idea of blurring the lines between ministry and family life. Sometimes we hear teachings of, you know, you want to make sure that your family life, you're all family, and then ministry life, you're all ministry, but taking them along for the adventure, not boxing it in. I love that story about leaving the board meeting to slip out and watch a rugby game and bounce back to the board meeting. Just blurring the lines between ministry and family life. I loved hearing him talk about silence, that silence can actually be a weapon when we're not encouraging people. Silence can really be hurtful when we don't support people that we should be supporting. I love the part about creating a releasing culture at the church. You know, allows them to travel quite a bit. And they have a trust in their culture, a releasing trust. Of course, there's a lot more. The humility to allow those around you to be successful. How are we doing with that? Is there somebody on your team that is super talented and maybe subconsciously you're kind of pushing them down? You're not lifting them up. Now, of course, we talked a little bit about synergizing with your worship ministry. I'm sure that speaks to several of you where they're really talented and everything non-worship is talented, but how do you synergize between those two successful parts of your ministry? I love they talked about being known for what you're for more than what you're against. Lots of great wisdom from Brian Houston, as usual. You guys know his ministry well. All of that from just 20 minutes with Pastor Brian Houston. Well, if you haven't bought the book yet, I strongly encourage you to buy the book. Maybe not just for you, but maybe for the whole team. Hey, maybe for the whole congregation. Very, very good resource. Well, folks, that's it for this episode of the Leadership Momentum Podcast. Be sure to be subscribed because in our next episode is a rare conversation with Bill Hybels. Yes, the longtime senior pastor of Willow Creek Community Church, a pastor and a ministry that has inspired us all for decades. Well, folks, until the next episode is available, hey, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I plan to post many more clips with many more leaders right there on social media. As always, hey, thank you for listening in and for sharing. We're all in this together, aiming to manage our influence God's way and for God's glory.
Thanks for joining us for the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. To learn more about Momentum, Go to stewardshipcentral.org/solutions. Loved what you heard today and didn't want to miss another episode? Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. While you're there, share your feedback by leaving a review. Finally, stay up to date with Chris Brown, including his Life, Money, and Hope podcast, on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram by following @ChrisBrownOnAir. On behalf of your host, Chris Brown, and the team at Ramsey Solutions, thanks for joining us for the Leadership Momentum Podcast.